The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Nicole Crank describes how God transformed her painful past.
What do you mean, how could God let me? He wasn't going to let me go through that alone. Yeah. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I honestly believe the reason I am alive today is because God said, you're going to have to know me, and I'm going to have to be with you through this, or there's no hope for you. Because he's my hope. He's my rock. He's my foundation. He's our healer. He's our savior.
Well, Betty and I, James, welcome you to Life Today. You have no idea how much it means to us to be able to share with you. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I know God wants to be right there in the middle of your journey, and he wants to be the shelter and the shadow you live in. And Betty and I do our best, knowing how important it is to have comfort, how important it is to have peace only God can give, to try to be sure that you not only have it, but that you realize God can share that love and that life and that peace and that comfort through you. And so when we bring a guest on, we bring someone on that we believe you can identify with. People you know and love and care about can identify with. They can be a help to you. Our guest today is Nicole Crank. Now, she's been very blessed and been very successful, but also been really hurt. And she wrote a book, interesting the way the publishers put the cover, I Will Survive, is kind of semi-blocked out, and then down here it's Thrive. There's a difference in just surviving the crisis and the pressure and thriving in it. And this is not like living a make-believe world, or living in a make-believe world, but reality. A reality of peace and direction and comfort that not only God can give, but he's anxious to give. Nicole, thank you for being with us today. And I want you to tell us, because you've got some ground to cover. Just take us on the journey that you want people to go on with you and actually with the great God that is able to lift you out of any pit of despair or defeat or hurt or pain that you didn't initiate. Just take us on the journey.
You know, I think a lot of times when people see somebody speaking at a conference or on a TV show, they're like, oh, silver spoon. They probably had this easy life. And I didn't get born with a silver spoon. Have you ever been to Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Oh, yeah.
Seen those little plastic sporks there? I got a spork and it was broken and dirty. That's what I got when I was born with. I was born in Canada, given up by my dad before I was born, and adopted in the U.S. by my stepdad when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I didn't really know any of that until I was in fourth grade. And fourth grade was a really big year in my life. I was saved in fourth grade. I met Jesus on my living room floor with a little wordless book my mom read to us. I found out I was adopted in fourth grade because I found a picture in my parents' underwear drawer. So never, ever hide anything in your underwear drawer. First place kids look. and then that's the year that I got molested by somebody in my neighborhood. And one of the questions that somebody asked me through writing this book and this book coming out, James and Betty, was, why do you think you got saved the year you got molested? What was, like, how could God let you? And I didn't even have to think of the answer. The answer to that just welled up on the inside of me so fast. And I said, what do you mean, how could God let me? He wasn't going to let me go through that alone. Yeah. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I honestly believe the reason I am alive today is because God said, you're going to have to know me, and I'm going to have to be with you through this, or there's no hope for you. Because he's my hope. He's my rock. He's my foundation. He's our healer. He's our savior. So I went through this thing, and I didn't tell anybody about it for about a year. And when I was in fifth grade, I told one little girl at my school who was my close friend, and I didn't think of what a little girl does when she tells a secret. Any guesses, Betty? She tells, right? She tells. So she told everybody. Then I didn't know what bullying was when I was a kid, that term, but I didn't have anybody to sit with at lunch. I didn't get invited to birthday parties. I actually wrote a chapter in the book, chapter 4. I call it the bully bus. Because when the bus would come down the street, and I knew I had to get on there. And it's unregulated. The kids are just mean and cruel. And so I can really identify with people's shame and labels, and they tell you what you are, and rumors turn into these wild things. And I know what it's like to feel alone in a room full of people. And I think what that's done for me is, if I'm in a group of people, I don't necessarily gravitate toward the popular people. I just see the outliers. Mm-hmm. And I immediately mm-hmm. start grabbing them and pulling them in, because I was that outlier. And I was surviving. I was making it, but I wasn't really living. And when I was 13 years old, I was in eighth grade, and our junior high had this program, I guess, that did community service in our school. So a guy doing community service in our school raped me when I was 13.
Wow.
He said, I've heard about you. I've heard what you do. I've heard these rumors, and took what was not his to take. Mm-hmm. And we moved not long after that to a new city, to a new school district, to a new county, to a new opportunity. And not until I wrote this book did I realize, from the things that had happened to me, that I felt like my no had been taken away. Mm-hmm. No meant nothing. Mm-hmm. No got me nowhere. No did not protect me. And when I got to this new school, and I didn't realize people were going to invite me to a party or ask me to do something, and I became a people pleaser as a coping mechanism. And that's what I talk about in the book a lot. So I take people into just what happened in my house, what happened in my living room, what happened in our home, because I wanted to be so honest and so raw that I want to meet people in their pain. When I wrote this book, I read a part in the book to my mom, because I've never sat down and had a conversation with my mom about this. And I told my daughter, because I didn't really talk with her about it much, and I said, I felt comfortable with pen and paper, because a pen and paper don't ask questions mm-hmm. that you're not ready to answer.
Yeah.
But people do. Yeah. So I wrote a part to my mom and said, Mom, this might be the part of the book that you don't want to read. But whatever happened to me, it's not because you weren't there. It's not because you could have done anything. It's not because you could have stopped anything. Because I don't know if you guys know the statistic, but 1 in 3 females are molested before the age of 18.
So sad.
And
so sad.
1 in 5 males are molested before they're 18. So I was actually speaking at our church from the book about not long ago about this and what had happened to me. And one of the guys that volunteer on the security team at the church, they keep the church safe, everybody comfortable, the 50-some-odd-year-old guy, I come off the platform, ex-military, and he's just bawling. And all he could choke out is, it happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to tell anybody. And that's the kind of pain that people are pushing down on the inside of them. The enemy tells you, this happened to you, so you don't qualify. This happened to you, so you never could. Or this happened because of you. Yeah. You dressed the wrong way, or you did the wrong thing. A girl who read the book, she DM'd me on Instagram. And she said, I got raped when I was a teenager. I didn't tell my mom for a couple of years. She said, I finally came out and told my mom. And when I did, my mom said, where were you? Where was he? How'd you meet him? Where were his parents? I told you never to. And she said, by the fourth question, she said, I shut down, and I've never been emotionally available to my mom again. And this woman's grown.
Mm. Well, that's sad.
So in the book, I really talk about fear. I talk about having the courage to look your giant in the eye. I talk about anger. I have a chapter called Happy Holidays, and how anger is the root word of the word danger. It's just got a D on the front of it. And the danger of anger, somebody pushes the wrong button and you just start blocking them off and you get angry and you flash mad and we destroy all these relationships. Another coping mechanism is building walls. And I write a whole chapter about how I built these walls in my heart in junior high that I didn't realize not only kept the pain out and manageable, survivable, but you can never thrive, because I could never feel the happy. And so that's where I was like, I don't want people living this gray life, because it's taboo to talk about the things that happened to me. And life had failed me through high school, but in high school I failed myself. Because I started people-pleasing, started overachieving. Mm-hmm. Another coping mechanism is, you know, if all these things, you feel unworthy, people don't love you. We try to please these ghosts of opportunities or parents' past like a father who never bothered to look at me. Like, why didn't you want me? I didn't even get a chance to make you mad and spend your life trying to please somebody who's not even looking or prove your value. So in high school, I just kept saying, you want to go to a party? Yeah. You want to, well, we're going to drink a little bit. Okay. You want to go on a date? Yeah. You want to kiss? Yeah. And at 17, I was a pregnant, unwed mother. And I was so just disappointed because I thought, well, how am I going to prove my worth now? Mm-hmm. And you know what is hilarious? As God says, I can work all things together for your good. And my son, who was born to me when I was 17 years old, he is 31 years old today. He pastors one of our campuses in Florida. He's the executive director over all of our Florida campuses. He's sold out for Jesus. He's sold out to leading people to the Lord. And the very thing that I thought was my biggest mistake, God turned it into the biggest blessing of my life.
That's awesome.
And so that's what people think, because of what happened to me or what happened because of me. Like, why could I get on this show? And God's given me a TV show. And why could I lead a TV show? Why would people listen to me talk at a conference or at Faith Church? I don't, like, this resume stinks. You know? It is not a good resume. But God says, I use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
And all things work together for good. They're not all good, but a great God that's good can work them for good, which seems impossible. You know, as I've listened to you, and by the way, you really do take us on the journey, and you really put healing hands and healing words and thoughts and sentences in what you're sharing. As I was listening to the tendency, it seems, when we've failed or miserable, there's a shame that's just around us, and then we heap some of it on ourselves, or we think others, or we blame ourselves pretty quick, and the devil's certainly there accusing us all. And a lot of times it causes us to kind of isolate and pull away. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is that we not move into that mode of pull away, or like you said, I want to go people pleasing, but we try to find someone that we can share? And we actually need one another, because I feel like even in your ministry, that you and your husband must be wanting to meet the needs of the brokenhearted, the people who are shattered. Am I right about that?
God told me that I would have to use my pain as my platform, because it's the one thing I said, I'll never tell anybody I was raped, because what happened last time when I told what happened to me. And God just let me know, this is what I want to do with you, and you're going to use your pain for other people's gain. And I take people from the pain to the promise faster, because I'm honest about what happened to me. And I'd love to tell you at that point, like, life got better, but it got worse for a minute, because, James, I did isolate. And what happens is we start thinking that we're not worthy. Therefore, we lower our expectation for every area of our life. And that's not God's plan. Like, getting through, getting your next meal, just making it, getting through COVID, that's not God's plan. That's survival. That's the enemy's plan. But thriving in life, God, it takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to have faith to please. God has a bigger plan. And he's not asking us to be worthy, because we never were in the first place. He's just asking us to be willing, which can be really hard. So instead of building those walls, God asks us to tear them down and be vulnerable, be humble. He's like, okay, the way up is down. You're going to have to tell all your junk, but... And then when you do, there's just this freedom that comes. We go through life thinking we're covering things up. Like, well, I have this pain from my past, like the guy who was in that security detail, and I'm covering it up, but it affects our relationships. Other people can see that something's going on. And so we have to go ahead in the chapter about having courage to look your giant in the eye and say, enemy, you have tried to slay me with this thing. But God, he says, the enemy might bruise your heel, but you are going to crush his head. And one of the lines I write in the book is that the depths of your wounds do not equal the height of your future. And God showed me this like a slingshot, like, you know, David on the field. And he said, when you pull the slingshot back just a little bit and let it go, things don't go very far. He said, but when you pull it back far, He said, I've committed to you in my word. When the enemy came against you, I would make him pay seven times. And if he bothers my kids with pain or hurt or burden, and then it comes to me, what I do is I pull that slingshot back to the depths of their wounds before I release it. And therefore, I turn all things together for their good. And you go further, faster than you ever could have on your own. If the devil messes with my kids, I make him pay.
And you know, you've got just, you know, she, Nicole's got such a story that you pretty well have to put in a book. And there's a zeal in what the Lord has done in spite of all the enemy did to damage. And you've turned merely surviving into thriving. Mm. And have you found the people who've read the book reporting back to you that they learned and they made a move from surviving to actually overcoming beautiful life?
When I get teary-eyed immediately just because I get DMs every day of people just pour out their stories to me. So I just want to tell you, if you read the book, buy a box of Kleenex because you're going to need Kleenex. But I also try and pepper it with humor because I'm just quirky and weird and outgoing and I've learned to embrace the weirdness. And I put that in there too because it's the purpose is healing. Mm-hmm. And when you meet Jesus, your spirit, you get saved, but your soul might still be wounded. And until you're willing to open the door to that hurt to God, he's not going to heal what we won't talk to him about. He's a gentleman. He doesn't come in and force his healing. So we have to say, okay, God, there's this really deep, dark, scary part of my life that I have pushed down, but I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you, Nicole. And let me just say, many of you are identifying with what she's talked about, and you just want God's healing touch. Father, I pray for every person right now that's been moved by your spirit or by their own past pain or challenges. And I want you to show them how mighty you are, how loving you are, to lift them up out of any pit of pain or defeat or failure or sorrow. Lift them up. Let them fix their eyes on you in Jesus' name. You know that we always offer you blessings, because just being here is a desire for Betty and me in Life Outreach, Life Today, to bless you. We will send you something to bless you if you want Nicole's book. What we ask you to do is put God's arms around someone else in a very direct, effective way. Right now, every viewer of Life Today has always communicated with us when they could, Betty. Mm-hmm. Nothing we enjoy more, and we like everything you do on Life Today, but giving water, a cup of water, a well of water, and one of the most fulfilling things in our life. I want you to listen to God through Sheila, through our mission director, and you're going to become the answer to the heart cry, the prayer, and the need. You really will be the miracle watch.
Do you want to translate so she can understand? Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for my sister. I cannot imagine what it's like to lose a child. But I ask you to comfort her heart.
A lack of drinking water can be a death sentence. But in our experience, and the data bears this out, it's not the scarcity of water that causes most fatalities. After all, desperate people are resourceful in finding at least some water. Rather, what most often leads to water-related deaths is that water's condition. As our mission team witnessed in Zambia, it's a problem that's all too common.
We're walking through another gravesite here. Heard a story today about a little boy, died very young, very small. This just seems to happen too often. In fact, here in this country, we're in Zambia, and they're in their dry season. They can't even find water many times. But then the water they do find, it's so contaminated. And here we have another little boy who just died senselessly, simply because they could not find safe water.
These people are doing absolutely everything they can. They get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They walk as many hours as they have to find some water, and it's not clean water. I wouldn't let my dogs drink this water. And this is all these children have. They need water wells. It's a privilege, not an obligation, to change their lives. Let's do it in Jesus' name.
I don't know, Betty, how many of our viewers actually transitioned in that moment from seeing the mother by the grave and Ralph, our mission overseer, by another grave of a child, to there at the end seeing all these little children. It's exciting as if somebody took them to the park.
Yeah.
And they're getting water. It's so much more than water, though. It's life. It's feel better. And Betty, it was all provided for those little children to move from the grave, from death and pain, to joy. Because somebody, like the people watching us, said, I'll take seriously what Jesus said. I'll give a cup of water in his name. And Jesus said, and you won't lose your reward. And I always try to tell our viewers, you don't determine the award or reward. God just says, I bless you when you bless others. I've blessed you to bless others. But here's what our viewers found and we found. Once we give the cup of water, watching what it does, like those little children, I don't need any more reward than that.
We don't. And I'm sure as I was sitting here watching these children at the end and the laughter, you can't help but smile when you hear the laughter of a child. I see pictures of our great-grandchildren just laughing and having fun, and I get the biggest grin on my face. Well, these mothers have had a sadness in their hearts because they have to give their children the only water that they have to drink, and that's contaminated water, knowing that it could possibly kill them. Let's continue to make that difference, and you've probably helped many, many times. Let's do it again. Let's drill the water wells, and let's offer a cup of water to those precious children, and let's put a smile on that mother's face as she watches her child be happy again.
You know, Betty talked about watching our children with their grandchildren, or our grandchildren, their children, and then now then their grandchildren, and we see them playing with their children. They just love them. And we don't have to wonder, our children's children, grandchildren, now great-grandchildren, are they going to be happy? Sure, because they're just surrounded with the blessings of love. And Betty, what love does, if they could see right there, it just changes everything. I mean, love gives life. It's the only way to life. It's only love that never fails. So because of love, will you help us complete the 350 wells that we said to the missionaries we'll drill in those areas? God, I pray for the miracle. Mm-hmm. Somebody watching gives a well. Somebody makes a gift toward it, prays others join. God, give us the wells. Give us the life in Jesus' name. $4,800 to drill a well. Some of you say, I can do it. $48 gives 10 people water the rest of their life. 144, 30 people the rest of their life. Would you become that miracle that is not only longed for but prayed for? If you'd go right now, get your bank card, go online or dial that number. Use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to life. But call us. Well, some are calling to give the card information. You call to tell us what you're mailing in because we really need your support in order to drill these wells. One place at a time, but it changes many lives, thousands, ultimately millions. Thank you.
Waterborne illness is a killer that strikes the most vulnerable. For many impoverished families, the death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, fresh drinking water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you James Robison's book, Living Amazed. Full of inspirational true stories, you'll learn how divine encounters can change your life. In addition, you'll also receive Randy Robison's brand new devotional, Upgrade, 7 Moves in 7 Weeks to a Better Life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Thin Line Bible with easy-to-read large print. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
The water behind me has already taken the lives of 2 children that we know of. I know because I just left their parents and their younger remaining sister in their graveyard. It's not right that children should die, and it's not right that they should die with a waterborne disease that we can so easily stop. Let's give them fresh water. Let's give them water that will not kill them. Let's give them water that will bring them life. Let's give these children a hope and a future by giving them clean drinking water. Go to the phone, go online, do it right now, make the best gift you can. Help us bring this village and so many other villages like it a source of fresh, clean water. Let's give them water for life. Let's give them a hope and a future. We can do it with your help.
Well, we just say thank you so much. And Living Amazed, that talks about all the unique people, miraculous encounters. Upgrade, Randy, our son, took all the Proverbs, broke it into 7 distinct parts to show you the wisdom God offers. If you'd like to have Nicole's book, talking about really thriving rather than just surviving, will you ask for it? The Bible will send you as beautiful as I've ever seen. And we just want to thank you for sharing life today. It's not only the title of a program, it's what we do. And Nicole Crank, thank you. Bless you and your husband and Faith Church. And we just thank you for sharing your witness.
You know what? God's so good, and I'm just so thankful for what you guys do and your hearts and how you bless everybody just through your television program, but then your hearts are so big to wrap around the world.
Thank you.
Well, it's the viewers that make it happen. The members of Christ's body get His arms around the world. Thank you all for watching Life Today. Don't miss the next program, and thanks for giving life.
When I get knocked down, when I feel like I'm losing, I've learned I'm going to take it to Christ and I'm going to tell Him.
Rosie Rivera, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.